You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
On this week's RedCafe.net podcast, we'll look at the comeback against Aston Villa and discuss whether or not Kiko Mekeira deserves a place in the side. As it was International Week, we assess United players' performances for their respective nations, and we welcome Andy Kerr back to the show to help us preview next week's Champions League tie against Rangers.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, welcome to episode 56 of the redcafe.net podcast. It's me, Stephen Darwin, and yes, I'm joined by Dan and Dov. Guys, how are you this week?
I'm fine, thanks, Steve. Eventful week, but I'm going watching Harry Potter tonight. I don't really want to do it, but there you go. Some sacrifices you just have to make.
We'll try not to keep you then, Dan. Try not to keep you too long.
No, it's fine. It's an 11 o'clock showing, which is even more ridiculous, which means I'll probably just end up falling asleep. But it's a great excuse to not actually watch the film, because I despise Harry Potter.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Have you seen all the films and read all the books, Dan? Maybe you'll like it if you do that.
Maybe. I've not read the books, no, Dov, but... You know, I just don't think the films, they don't excite me, Dov. They don't excite me.
What kind of things do excite you, Dan?
I like funny films, you know, something like, I don't know, The Hangover or something like that. Yeah, you know, it's just something that makes you laugh, but I don't, Harry Potter's, it's not for me. It's poor.
I'm glad you stuck to films there, Dan, when you're asked
that
question.
Yeah, well, I could have said that, you know, within the button.
We'll move it swiftly on. How are you doing, Dov?
I've got a little bit of a cold, so I'm not in 100% health, but you know, I've had some painkilling injections and taken a lot of legal drugs that you can buy over the counter to keep myself fit for the podcast. And I've got another fantastic food fact for you both. You know how last week I found a great pizzeria? I just thought I'd inform you that you can't actually get crisps in it, or you can get crisps, but only ready salted flavour crisps, which I know Dan is disgusted about.
It's not good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of beef crisps. You don't have any beef ones?
No, don't come here. You'll never get beef crisps. Nowhere.
Like I say, that's disappointing.
Great stuff. Well, we've established if you're a crisp fan, don't go to Italy. But we'll get started with United stuff. And, of course, the 2-2 draw with Aston Villa on Saturday in the Premier League. Dan, in the end, obviously a terrific finish to the game, really, and well, as United comebacks go, I suppose that's up there, recent times anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know we drew another away game, but you know, after playing so poorly and Villa dominating for much of the game, to come away with a point was a pretty good result in the end. Obviously, they went ahead and then scored again on the counter, but I just thought that the performance was a bit flat. And, you know, it took for something like Makeda to come on, and he had an impact this time, as opposed to starting the game. So, yeah, I'm delighted for him. It was a great finish, and it spurred us on, really.
And do you think that'll help sort of lift him and boost his confidence? Because obviously, we've criticised him a couple of times in the past and sort of wondered, is he going to start pushing on now? And I guess a goal like that really, well, you can't really do anything else to help you, can you, to boost that confidence?
He comes across as a very sort of instinctive striker, though. You know, if you give him a chance, he will put it away. But the ones that he thinks about, he doesn't seem to do brilliantly with. I mean, because the goal at the weekend was, you know, one touch and then he smash. It was. He's got a thing about scoring against Villa as well.
Yeah.
So they must be a bit devastated to keep seeing him. But I mean, yeah, like you say, confidence would be a big thing for him. He's only 19, and I'm sure he will improve. But you know, I've still got my doubts about his all round play.
Dov, got to go to you for this one. Another game, and still no goal for Dimitar Berbatov since, in the league especially, it's been since his hat-trick against Liverpool. I guess, though, at the moment, I mean, maybe even more so for you, I guess it's crucial that we sort of stick by him, the fans stick by him, and even Sir Alex Ferguson just keeps playing him, and just hopefully that goal will come, because once again, against Aston Villa, he was really out of sorts, wasn't he, and he missed that. Well, that massive chance in the first half when he put it wide.
Yeah, I think you said it there. I mean, he's he's quite hot and cold at the moment, isn't he? Great start to the season and kind of went off the boil a little bit. But like at the moment, he's, you would say he's our number one striker as such. He's probably second in line after Rooney if you're talking in hierarchy in the strikers. So you've got to stick by him, give him his chance. But if he's not taking it, and if you get younger guys coming on like Makeda, then sit him down, let him sit a couple of games out and say, right, okay, next time, play a bit better, you'll get your chance, come on, do something with the ball. But I thought he looked very disjointed in the game and wasn't really penetrating the Villa defence, although I think that's more due to the fact that the midfield was kind of overrun than actually him being poor as well.
And Dan, well, I suppose, yeah, there's that argument, but then again, you've got the argument that Ferguson did go 4-4-2, did have a go, and played, well, obviously played Hernandez up alongside Berbatov, so once again, it's, you're sort of scratching your head, wondering when's it going to turn for him. I guess, well, we've said it for Rooney in the past, it just needs a goal. And with Berbatov, I guess this is the classic example, really.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it was a bad miss in the first half. He seems to be snatching at chances. I mean, the way he even tried taking that shot, technically, was a bit wrong, I thought. You know, I'm no expert on goal scoring, but I just think that the way his body shape was, I don't think he connected properly with it, even when he obviously dragged it wide. I still think his general play, you know, outside the box and his link-up play is fairly decent. I don't think you can ask much more of him in that respect. But like you say, you know, unless he's scoring goals, the fans will be wanting someone like Hernandez to start with Rooney and see what that partnership is like. But having said that, you know, we spent 30 million or whatever on Berbatov, and, you know, to leave a player of his calibre on the bench, cause let's be fair, he's still a great player. But, you know, if he's not performing, then somebody else deserves the chance to nip in ahead of him. But I mean, I think he's still got a lot to offer, and he's only 30, 31, so definitely a player that we should be keeping on to and just encouraging a little bit more.
So Wigan at home Saturday, you stick by him, you continue to keep playing him, don't drop him, even though obviously Makeda scored that wonderful goal.
Well, I don't know really, because apparently Rooney's coming back, isn't he, which will be interesting, you know, what sort of reception Rooney gets from the fans. But no, I think I would play, if Rooney is fit, I'd play Rooney and Berbatov up front. Wigan haven't been, well, they're not a brilliant team, and I think we can definitely get goals against them. So I think that, you know, if Berbatov was to get a chance and he put it away, then great. But the only thing is, if he does get a chance and squanders it, then people are going to look at him even more, aren't they?
Dov, quick word on Danny Welbeck. Obviously a shock result at Stamford Bridge, Sunderland picking up that 3-0 win. But I don't know if you saw the game, but Welbeck was absolutely superb. Probably the best performance I've seen from him his entire career, to be honest. Obviously, that's not obviously stretched over too long. But no, it was a great performance. And that sort of showing proves that, well, if he can come back to United and perform like that, then he's definitely got a future with us.
No, I think you're exactly right in what you say. I mean, I didn't see the whole game. I only managed to catch highlights of it, but I think he looked fantastic when he was played up in the front too, because he's been playing on the left-hand side of a Sunderland five-man midfield. And when we had the Sunderland fan on, he said that Welbeck, he's been used as a sub mainly, but when he's came on, he's done really well. So I think a performance like that could then establish himself in the Sunderland side. And obviously, the more games he plays, the more experience he gets. And then the better player he comes back to United as. But I don't think he'll keep his place in the first team, because I think when Darren Bent gets back to fitness, I think Bent and Asamoah Gyan will be the front two for Sunderland. But again, if he keeps playing like that way, then it's not going to do the lad any harm. So it was definitely a good performance from him.
Before we look at the international sort of fixtures and just do a quick roundup of that, obviously a lot of news at the moment. Danish goalkeeper Anders Lindegaard, he looks all but set really to join us. He's 23 years old, believed to be challenging Thomas Sorensen to be Denmark's number one. The fee being mentioned is $3.5 million. Dan, obviously it's very early doors to sort of draw any conclusions as to what we can sort of expect from him, but Peter Schmeichel, interestingly, he came out obviously, yeah. If there's a Danish goalkeeper you want to refer to, it's obviously he's the man, but he sort of said he doesn't think he's good enough to come to United. I mean, so does that sort of worry you at all? I mean, just that you look at it and you've got Thomas Kuschak there at the moment. I mean, would you be wanting us to sort of splash out on a bigger name, a sort of a David De Gea or something like that? I think that would be the ideal choice for any of us at the moment. But yeah, what's your thoughts on this deal?
It's funny. I was actually thinking about this morning, because obviously I read the quotes from Schmeichel, and like you say, you know, you're better to go to if you want goalkeeping advice. But for a United goalkeeper, I think you need someone who's already top class, really. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, such as players like, you know, Iker Casillas and the Barcelona keeper Valdez, who they've come through their own youth systems and done really well, Casillas especially. But I think that at a club like United, I already think you need to be established as, you know, the number one when you come in, really. You know, United keep a lot of the ball, and the chances that they do have to defend, you need a keeper who's going to stay alert at all times and one that's, you know, of a high class. I'm not sure who you would go for. You know, I've always liked Gianluigi Buffon, but I don't know how his injury is at the moment. And obviously, Atletico Madrid's keeper, like you mentioned. There's not too many out there that you can, you know, say would come in and do the job that, you know, say Peter Schmeichel did when we first bought him. So it's a tough one, really, for Ferguson, because, you know, we do need to replace Van der Sar. He's 40 years old now. Obviously, Ben Amos is there, who I think has got a lot of potential. But again, if you were to throw him in the first team every week, I think that he might struggle, much the same as what Ben Foster did. And I don't really rate Kuzak, so...
And what must Ben Amos be thinking as well? He's just sort of coming in and he's been on the bench and things like that, and he's played a couple of games. He must be sort of thinking, well, they're looking to bring in another goalkeeper. There's rumours of a bigger name coming in as well. What must he be thinking?
I don't know, really. I mean, United have never really had a good history of producing keepers, really. I can't remember the last top-class one that we produced. So it's a strange one, really, why we don't seem to produce any. But, you know, in Ben Amos' case, I mean, I thought he played well in the Wolves game that he played in the... In the Carling Cup, and he just needs his opportunity. But like I say, I mean, if you're Ben Amos and you've seen people like De Gea and obviously Lindegaard being linked with the club, then you're going to think where your future lies. But I've been more concerned about Thomas Kuzak, to be honest with you, because obviously I think he must have been there now for, you know, 5-6 years, and he's not done much wrong when he has played, but I don't think he's got that charisma and that the character really to be a United mainstay. So hopefully the Danish lad will come in and do well, but like you say, he's only 23. We've not really heard much of him apart from the last sort of, you know, half a season.
Do you think that Kuzak might leave then? Like, because he has said that he might follow in the footsteps of Ben Foster, and if we're signing Lindegaard, and obviously there's rumours of De Gea coming in, like you mentioned, Steve, Kuzak would probably just think, right, okay, if they're still buying keepers, clearly there's no trust in myself, so I'll just go somewhere mid-table club in the Premier League and get first-team football.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have no opposition to that either, because obviously he wants to play first-team football, and I'm still in the opinion that, you know, he's a very good second goalkeeper, but I don't think he's a number one for a club like United. Where he would go, I don't know, but like you say, a mid-table club would take him. Obviously, I think Jesko Linen's coming to the end of his career at Bolton sometime soon, so he might end up there or something like that, but no, I think that he would leave, and I don't think Ferguson would stop him really either.
Completely agree. Well, cool, we'll move it on now to just, well, briefly round up the international football that took place and the United players that were involved. Well, the week just seemed to get better and better for Federico Macheda. He scored two goals for Italy under-21s in their 2-1 win over Turkey, so obviously a match winner there, good stuff for him. Rio Ferdinand played 45 minutes in awful viewing for any England fan.
Disgusting viewing.
In there, obviously, their 2-1 defeat to France. John O'Shea, he played the full 90 minutes for the Republic of Ireland. They lost 2-1 to Norway. While Johnny Evans played the whole game for Northern Ireland in their 1-1 draw with Morocco. Another centre-back, Nemanja Vidic, played 60 minutes for Serbia. They beat Bulgaria 1-0. Dolph's home nation, Scotland, Darren Fletcher, played the full 90 minutes for them as they beat the massive nation that is the Faroe Islands.
That's sarcasm, Steve. There's actually a sarcasm in your voice there.
And just a few of the youngsters. Gabriel Obertan, he played 45 minutes for France under-21s. They lost 1-0 to Russia. And a couple of even younger players, Ravel Morrison and Tom Thorpe, both played for England under-18s in a 3-0 win over Poland. So that just rounds up the international stuff.
Steve, what did you think about Nani when he played for Portugal? have you seen the clip from Ronaldo?
I have, yeah. That was
unbelievable. What is Nani playing at? I tell you what, if I was Ronaldo, I'd be killing him in the dressing room. So, yeah, it would have been a proper worldie as well. Over Casillas, and then Nani just runs in and spoils the show, really. Idiot.
Yeah, well, for anyone who hasn't seen it, Ronaldo's got down the line, cut inside, lobbed the ball over the top of Casillas. It's going in the back of the net, as Dan says, probably one of the goals of his career, and Nani's ran in for an offside position and headed it in before it's crossed the line. And The reaction of Ronaldo as well is...
Just threw his armband down, didn't he? Disgusting.
It's worth watching just for that, to be honest. No, I didn't have Nani on my notes there, so apologies for that. Nani, of course, did play for Portugal, and they stuffed Spain 4-0.
I was just going to say, Steve, talking about Nani's performance, I watched the game, and he was absolutely fantastic. He was, for me, Portugal's best player in the whole game. Properly took Cap de Villa to pieces. It was amazing.
I noticed a shot at the start. He had a shot within sort of the first 5 minutes that Casillas touched around the post. That was a great strike. I remember that from it.
Yeah, that was after 1 minute. I think he had that shot, and the whole game it was just counterattack after counterattack started off with him. And people spoke about Ronaldo and said how amazing he was in the game, and he was good. Credit to him. But no, I thought for me, Nani was Portugal's best player. It seems like
I'm really excited by Nani. You know, I mean, I know like he's been here for a few seasons now, but I think when you watch him, you're just thinking to yourself, "Oh, this guy, he's got potential there to be great." And long may it continue to play well for Portugal. And like you say, against Spain, was it a weakened team, Spain, or was it like a full strength one?
Full strength team. They were just Portugal were much better than them. Spain, that's the third game on the trot they've not won. Yeah, they're doing it in Italy. When they were a couple, they'd take it easy.
Yeah, they've reached the pinnacle now, so it's all downhill.
Just give them a game against England, that'll soon boost their confidence. But we'll move it on to Cabbage and Player of the Week then, guys. Obviously, only one game, so maybe not quite the criteria you'd normally have to choose from. But what about Player of the Week then? Start with you, Dan.
Federico Macheda's going to get it. I mean, I thought that his goal was exceptionally well taken on Saturday, and it was a great finish, and it inspired us to go and get, you know, the goal from Vidic. So really good.
Dov?
Well, in anticipation of who you're going to pick, Steve, I don't know who it is yet, but I've got an inkling who it might be. I'm going to give it to Gabriel Obertan, because I thought when he came on with Makeda, he didn't play in his usual sort of right side midfielder or left side midfielder on the wings. He was played as an attacking midfielder, and I thought he was quite brilliant in the position. Linked the play between the midfield and sort of Makeda up front fantastically well for a guy who hasn't really played there, so he's getting player of the week for me.
Obertan, nice. Well, I'm going to give it to, you might have guessed it, Dov, Nemanja Vidic.
That's who I thought you would give it to.
Well, not just for his defending. I mean, he didn't defend maybe as well as he has done in the past, but I thought he was sound enough. But for the match, well, not the match winner, the equalising goal was such a big moment, obviously. I think a defeat there, well, it would have ended, 25 games that we've been unbeaten. It would have been, it could have been quite a test for us to come back from something like that. And no, it was big goal, and it was nice to see him pop up with it. So Vidic for me. What about Cabbage then, Dov? Start with you.
I'm going to give it to a guy who seems to be your favourite Cabbage this season, Michael Carrick. I thought that he got overrun in midfield, and his passing, especially his long range passing, was terrible. Caught in possession a few times as well, so he's getting Cabbage for me.
Dan?
I'm going to give it to Patrice Evra. I've said the rest of the season, I don't think he's been brilliant. He's had a few good games, but the second goal, he didn't even try and get back. He just watched, was it Albrighton who scored? I mean, he just watched him tap it in. He didn't even try and intercept. I thought it was poor defending, poor positioning, and poor athleticism. So, and lazy. So, Evra, there you go.
I think you've given it Evra a couple of times.
Well, he deserves it. I've nothing against the lad, I just think that he's not played well. He's not lived up to what he did last season or the season before, and he needs to start getting into shape, otherwise John O'Shea will step in there at left back.
fair enough. Mine this week is, it's between two Bs. It's either Brown or Berbatov, one of the two. I think I'm going to give it to Brown, which may be a bit lucky for Berbatov, really, because he probably deserved it. But no, he's obviously given away the penalty for Ashley Young. I don't know what he was trying to do there. He just clumsily
he was trying to be clever when he tried to make it look like he didn't foul him, but he didn't. Yeah, it didn't work. It was most obvious penalty you could see.
And yeah, just generally I don't think he defended well up against Young. Obviously a tough afternoon, and Downing as well seemed to cause huge problems for him, and I've never rated Stuart Downing whatsoever, but he played pretty well on the weekend, so I don't know whether that's my poor judgment or Wes Brown having a shocker, but I'm hoping it's because Brown didn't play very well. So, Brown for me.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Right then. Well, we'll move on to look at the reserves now then, the latest fixture for the reserves. Dov, a 3-0 win and an absolute wonder goal from Bebe as well.
That's right, Steve. An outstanding pair of goals from Bebe and a Will Keane penalty gave United the victory over Wigan. The Portuguese winger, he scored after only 4 minutes and then doubled his tally with a first-time volley from 20 yards later in the game. Those were after Will Keane's penalty and a consolation goal from Avian Sunday for Wigan. So 3-1 the final score. Like I say, after 4 minutes, Bebe latched onto a Will Keane flick-on and then bundled his way through three challenges before smashing the ball into the roof of Lina because his net, who was in the Wigan goal. Obviously, United went on from there and really bossed the game from the start. Jesse Lingard was quite fantastic. And strangely enough, Fabio and Ryan Tunnicliffe were playing in centre and midfield. Fabio, obviously, taking heed from the fact that he's not going to get into the United first team to replace Patrice Evra, maybe trying out a new position, and he could may well be the answer to our midfield problems. Wigan did have one chance in the first half when Scott Woodson and Reece Brink were a bit unsure over who should be clearing the ball, and it allowed Avian Sunday to nip in. He rounded Ben Amos, but Scott Woodson got back quite magnificently, blocked the shot, and obviously narrowed the angle from Sunday as well. Amos, he made a couple of good saves from Sunday, who was really Wigan's only threat. United, though, had more possession, were generally in control for most of the game. Lingard had a shot which went just wide from 20 yards towards the end of the first half. United then went two up when Will Keane, he converted a penalty. Joe Dudgeon was brought down in the box by Michael Girvan of Wigan, and Keane dispatched a penalty, sending Nichols the wrong way. Ben Amos in the United goal then got an assist. He launched a huge kick up the park. Jordan Mustle for Wigan missed the ball, bounced and dropped to the right-hand edge of the Wigan area, and Bebe just smashed an incredible volley, which he arced inside Nichols's far post. It was a great goal. If you've not seen it, go onto YouTube and check it out. It is absolutely magnificent from the young winger. Wigan, though, did then get a goal back. Avian Sunday, he played the ball out wide to Girvan, who then sprinted into the United box, and then his return cross was headed in by the Wigan forward. So got them into the game a little bit, and they looked a bit more galvanised after that. But United, all in all, were much the better side and deserved a win. Like I say, a few performances. Bebe in particular was fantastic. Jesse Lingard as well, who was one of the top performers on the day.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, it's preview time now then, and we'll kick things off. Obviously, two games coming up over the next week or so. Wigan at home on Saturday in the Premier League. And obviously, we definitely need to be going out for 3 points here. Obviously, talk of Rooney being on the bench as well, and I think just his presence, even if he's just on the bench and doesn't get on, I think having him around once again, that should be a boost. But as you said earlier in the show, there might be some boos around as well.
I think that, well, maybe not so much boos, but I don't think there'll be many cheers, if you know what I'm saying. I think people will remain silent rather than start booing him. Because after all, he's still a United player, still wearing the shirt, so hopefully he'll play well. But I've got a slight feeling that he'll start tomorrow. Now, you know what Ferguson's like, he'll say one thing and then he'll obviously do the other, so I won't be surprised if he started, but hopefully he'll get a good reception, and now it's up to him now to prove to the fans why he stayed.
Dov, in terms of a lineup, I mean, Dan was talking earlier about Makeda. I mean, would you start with him, or would it be Hernandez and Berbatov for you?
I think you need to start Makeda just because the goal was a fantastic goal, and just give him a chance. Another one that's earned it, obviously scoring that. And sort of Hernandez and Berbatov didn't really look up too much against Aston Villa, so give the young guy a chance, especially against the Wigan side too. They're not playing the best at the minute, and they're quite 17th in the table, so it'll be a good opportunity for him to give sort of one of the younger players an opportunity.
Okay, and before we catch up with we've got a Rangers fan, Rangers opposition fan to talk to, what would be your predictions for this week then for Wigan to start with?
I think it'll be a big win, Steve. I think it'll be maybe sort of three, maybe even four. I think this would be a, a very dominant performance by United.
Dan, how do you see it going?
Yeah, I think 3-0 as well, actually, to be fair. I can't see Wigan scoring. Touch wood, they won't do, but I can't really see it. They've only really got one or two good players. I like Nzobia, but I think he's fairly average. And obviously, they've got Victor Moses as well, who scored the other week. But I can't see.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, everybody, as you know by now, it's time for an opposition fan to come on the show. And we have a man who we had on not so long ago. It is Andy Kerr, president of the Rangers Supporters Assembly. Andy, welcome back to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Thanks, David.
We spoke to you before United played Rangers in the Champions League last time, and but I think you predicted that you were probably going to get beat, and you came away from Old Trafford with a very, very credible draw. Just before we talk about the game next week, what did you think about the performance from Rangers at Old Trafford?
Oh, we were absolutely delighted. You know, I mean, we knew, and I think I indicated when I spoke to you before, that we would set up in a particular way. The danger of setting up in that way is if you lose the first goal, it sort of blows the formation out of the water. But I actually thought that as much as we set up with a very defensive formation, I thought we actually acquitted ourselves well in the wider aspects of the game. You know, we tried to move the ball about, we tried to use it and get forward when we had the opportunity. And over the piece, you know, I think our feeling was that we did deserve the draw, and most of United's danger seemed to come from particularly Gibson's long range shooting, and there wasn't a lot of real danger, you know, close in terms of lots and lots of chances.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of United fans I spoke to were more disappointed with United not being able to break down a Rangers backline in midfield that's set up in that way. I mean, do you think that that's maybe something Rangers will play off as we look at the game coming up?
David, I mean, we, you know, as I said before, our whole approach, particularly in Europe, is about making the best of the resources that we've got, and that best suits a formation where we can defend deep, try and draw the team in, try and, you know, defend well, and then when opportunities come our way, you know, hopefully take them. And I mean, I don't know if you saw any highlights of the Valencia home match, but, you know, that's exactly what we did, and we actually created about six or seven good chances. Albeit in terms of possession, Valencia had far more possession, and I suspect it'll be similar. That's the way we'll try and play on Wednesday.
Interesting stuff, isn't it? Well, we'll talk about your form in the SPL. It's been quite fantastic, really. I mean, at the moment,
we've had a really, really good start to the season. But I think what's happened, David, is we had the first flurry of games, and then along came the European games. And it all sort of culminated. We played Celtic in the league, and we were both carrying 100% records into that game, and we were able to beat Celtic. We played really well. We got a great result. But that almost seemed to be the top of the mountain, and I think we're over the other side now. And, you know, with a disappointing match against Hibs, where we were, you know, well beaten by 3-0, and absolutely no doubt that the correct score was a victory for Hibs. And I just feel that there's little signs that we're on the stretch now in terms of resources and fitness.
What about sort of some of the guys that you've got there? I mean, we spoke about Kenny Miller last time, and he seemed to be banging in the goals for you, and it seems to be that he still is, not to the extent he
does. Yeah, I mean, he's had an exceptional start to the season in terms of his goal scoring. And one of the things that's intrigued me, and I've noticed it more just in recent matches, because he's now perceived to be the main goal scorer, he's actually changed his game. He doesn't sort of cover the same amount of ground that he did previously and sort of, you know, chase down the spaces and hunt down the ball in wide areas. He almost seems to say, well, I'm the goal scorer, and my job's to stay sharp around the penalty area. And to be honest, in some of the recent games, and I know this sounds, you know, a bit ironic, but his contribution's been his goal, and that's it. But, you know, he's got confidence, and his goal-scoring record is excellent. So, you know, we've got to be thankful for that.
Indeed, well. He'll be up against probably Rio Ferdinand and Nemanja Vidic, who sort of they've came back into the lineup, and United has seemed to be fairly susceptible to conceding. Obviously, at the weekend there, they managed to scrape a draw with Aston Villa, and then they've got a home game against Wigan this weekend.
How you mentioned that you think Rangers are set up in a defensive approach. Looking at the actual Champions League table, do you not think you maybe need to go for it a little bit, given that he's our third in the table?
I totally understand what you're saying, and I actually, in principle, agree with you. You know, essentially, we need to try and win this game if we're going to have a realistic chance of qualifying for in one of the top two places. And you know, I would like to think that that's the approach we would take. But I think Walter Smith's whole philosophy is, he's almost reluctant to open up against good teams because he is so wary that we could get picked off at the back. And, I mean, David Weir has been playing exceptionally well for us, but we've got to play a certain way with Davey and the team, which is about defending deep. We can't force the issue, because if we get him left in one-to-one situations, you know, against, you know, the sort of quality attackers that you guys have got, there is a danger, you know, that we could, you know, be forcing the game and turn round and say, why are we three down, you know? So I think, although the philosophy is we've got to try and win the game, I think we'll go about it in much the same manner as we normally do.
And are you expecting United to maybe come at you with a bit more force than, or a bit more incision than they did in the first game, obviously, like you say?
I am very wary of the way that this game's set up, and I think it will tend to play into United's hands, especially if we do try and force the issue. I think it'll be cat and mouse for a while, but you know, I think it's fair to say I haven't seen all the games in their entirety, but I think, you know, United perhaps have looked a bit more comfortable in the away games than they have in the home games, and maybe the way that the game's getting played there is maybe suiting them a little bit better at this moment in time. Because with the attacking quality and the passing quality, there is a danger that if we force our hand too much, you know, we will get undone quite quickly.
It will be an interesting tie, and it'll be good to see what happens. But before I let you go, Andy, you did mention last time that you travelled to Manchester for the first leg. If you could just tell the listeners what it was like as an away fan coming to Old Trafford.
It was actually, and I don't just speak for my own personal, I think this reflects the majority of our fans, we actually had a very enjoyable day. There was a lot of feeling that the Wigan thing was very restrictive and whatnot, but actually it was relaxed, it was a good environment, the facilities that were laid on for us were great, we got up to Old Trafford in plenty of time. We weren't shackled and sort of, you know, pushed around. You know, there was an element of freedom. There was, you know, some mixing and some chat with people locally there before we went in. We obviously, the key obviously to an away trip particularly is playing well and getting a good result. And then, you know, we got away great after the game. So, you know, I've got nothing to praise for the whole experience, and it was thoroughly enjoyable.
Good stuff. Well, again, Andy, thank you very much for joining us on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're welcome, and I hope you guys enjoy your trip to Glasgow.
Well, that was the views of our opposition fan. Dov, obviously Rangers on Wednesday. A draw guarantees qualification to the next round of the Champions League. But obviously Valencia are sniffing around and will want to get that top spot. So do you think Ferguson's going to go to Rangers and maybe be happy with a draw, or would you like to see him go for the win and make sure we sort of ensure that we finish top of the group?
I think ensure you finish top of the group so that the last game doesn't matter and it can give some of the younger guys a go in the Champions League, get some more experience. The thing is for Rangers, they really need to win this game, which I think will be interesting, so how they set up tactically, because we've seen how they set up at Old Trafford with sort of everybody behind the ball apart from Kenny Miller. So I think They need to get a positive result from the game, and I think if they maybe come out a little bit or come out their shells a little bit, United could pick them off, because as much as they were well organised, we have got a superior side. So I could see us putting out a strong team in this game and getting the 3 points, which would then set up the nice game for the next game for the young guys.
Well, that prediction then, in terms of a scoreline, what would you go for?
I think it'll be another big win, actually. Following the Wigan win, I think we'll maybe get three in that one as well.
Dan, how do you see it panning out?
Yeah, I think it'll be a bit tougher. I mean, I remember last time we went to Rangers, I think we only won 1-0 and Phil Neville scored a goal. Obviously, he won't score again. But I think it'll be a tough game, and I'm going to go with a 1-0 United.
just one email to check through before we close the show. It's from John Reynolds. He talks about the fact, obviously, we're now 26 games unbeaten. Dov, he wonders, should we be reading too much into that? And also, can we match? Remember the run Arsenal went on, the Invincibles back in 2004. Can we go on a similar run this season?
Given the performances of the team, I wouldn't think so. But Michael Carrick spoke about the sort of unbeaten streak and said how it's breeding confidence in this side. I suppose they could do it if the performances get a bit better. I mean, why not? I mean, if they're playing poorly and not being beat, then if they start playing better, then obviously you'd expect it to go on. But I mean, when the sort of the bigger sides come up, like Chelsea, Arsenal, then it'll be a bit more difficult. But I don't think it'll be a 49 game unbeaten streak to get to quote Arsenal's figure.
Great stuff. Well, certainly hope we can go a full season unbeaten. That'll be quite something, wouldn't it? But now we shall wait and see what happens on that score. But that is just about the end of episode 56 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Remember, emails can be sent to podcast@redcafe.net. Any sort of questions, comments, suggestions, anything like that, we're always pleased to hear from you. And well, that just leaves me to say thanks a lot for listening to this week's show, and make sure you come back again next week.